Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, it is Friday, the weekend upon us, and a busy one for the Calgary Flames. We got it for you. We've got a busy, busy show today. We had a winner today in our 50-50. We're going to give Stu a call about 12:45, see what he's going to do with that 20 grand and a few other things, too. Eric Francis Friday's today, don't you know? So we'll talk to Francis coming up about 12:30 for the Beltliner. But first, it's a game day, Flames and Arizona. Let's find out from Peter Labardius.
Flames insider Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
As much as you want to be at your best for a full 60 minutes all the time in this league, it's just not the nature of the beast. And so when things like that rear their head like they did the other night, then it's, you know, it's like poker. It's not about playing a good hand. It's about playing a bad hand well.
I like that. I like that analogy. That's pretty good.
I knew you would. So our discussion yesterday, and we'll get into tonight's game very quickly, was how conflicted I felt about the way to assess the win against Columbus. So as I get an opportunity to do, I asked Jeff basically how his true takeaway was from the game. That was kind of in the mud, wasn't easy. Needless to say, we talked yesterday about sticking to it. And then I asked him the question, and you'll hear his whole coach's show coming up tonight at 6 on Flames warm-up. And Kelly, that's what he came away with, that A, there is great value, needless to say, in sticking with it and being patient and finding your way to 2 points. But what was the real takeaway for him, and it's funny, I have a great friend that says to me in a lot of different cases in life, what's really important is when you assess things, and there are time to properly assess, and sometimes you can't. So coming off that long road trip, the Flames staff fully expected that they might not be at their best early with all the travel and the time zones and coming back from a long trip. Even in understanding all the focus going into that game is you've got to be better at home. It's this and it's that. So that's where I wanted to stay and start today was just that's it. Okay, it's easy to play a good hand. You know, if you're playing poker as I did a few weeks ago at the Flames Ambassador Tournament, well, if I get 2 aces, guess what? I'm starting to get a little itchy with my chips. But if I've got a 7 and a 2, what are you going to do? And that's the way sports is. You want to have 2 aces when you come out of the gate every night, but is it reality?
But not the teams not in the NHL, it's not, Lou.
No, well, it's not really anywhere in any situation. But the truth be known is the best teams in any sport, they don't have it exactly. They can't dictate every night the way that they want because 2 teams play, and some teams have the ability, as Columbus did the other night, to really get into their game, get there early. The Flames helped that a little bit. But I wanted to start there today because I loved that analogy about it's not always how you play a good hand. That's easy. How do you play a bad hand? And the truth is, that hasn't been an easy thing for the Flames and their DNA. But the better they get at that, the better off they're going to be.
Flames and Arizona tonight, the Coyotes come in and they have not been great so far. They've missed the playoffs for 7 consecutive seasons. Since January 9th, we see they're 8-11-4. They score they allow the fewest goals, third fewest, so they've got that going on. They've got great goaltending so far, for the most part, from Darcy Kuemper. And the other thing that I noticed is that they do okay in the first period with the goals. So this is going to be interesting as we find out what's happening with the Flames. What do you make of the opponent tonight and where they're at? As they've been one of those teams, and they did this last year, and then the injuries caught up to them, and they just didn't have enough in the tank in March to get into the playoffs for April. Where are we at with the Coyotes?
Well, I think you're going to see a very similar type style to what you saw from Columbus. And that is, it's a team, you laid it out, Kelly, so I don't have to. They don't give up very much. I think their foundation is their veteran defense, which is finally almost healthy. Hjalmarsson, who missed 43 games, he's back. They've had a boatload of injuries. They're still without one of their good young people in Jacob Chychrun, who won't play tonight. But this is a team that's had some massive injuries, especially on defense. Demers has missed time. Just talked about Hjalmarsson, who, you know, was a pretty instrumental piece in Chicago winning some Stanley Cups before he made his way to the desert. So Rick Tocchet, his team has an identity. It has great goaltending, but what they don't do easy, Kelly, is score. And I think a lot of that is A, personnel, and B, maturity. And Rick Tocchet was asked today in a scrum about why they haven't scored more. And he referred to, you know, their health, but he referred to what a lot of coaches will refer to, and that is, are your younger people understanding that they have to go to hard places in order to be effective? And I think, you know, whether it's Clayton Keller, whether it's Christian Dvorak, and the fact, you know, now they have Barrett Hayton, who played such a massive role in Canada winning the World Junior Gold Medal, it takes time, as you know, Kelly, for young players who were so successful, and in a sense, it came so easy to at other levels, to understand how to do it when it's really, really difficult. And remember, the real challenge, and we've seen that even here at times in Calgary, the real challenge in Arizona is they don't have an offensively blessed group. So you know what that means? Their best young people, guess what kind of matchups they're getting every night? They're getting everybody's best defenseman, and their matchup game is so difficult. So that's where I see Arizona, but they're great in their structure, a lot like Columbus. You know, this thing might get in the mud again. It might get in the mud again, and it's going to be up to the Flames to see if they can, A, be prepared to stick in it, and maybe manage the puck a little better and support the puck better, especially through the middle of the ice, in order to open Arizona up, which is not easy to do.
Flames and Arizona tonight, pregame at 6, play-by-play at 7 right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. What can you tell us about the Flames lineup going into this game?
You know, when it gets really easy, when there is no change. And again, there is no change. And I think, you know, that's the one thing that we haven't talked a lot about this week or recently is, aren't we always talking about who's playing on a different line or who's starting in a different place or who's coming in or who's going out? We have been. But we're not having that chat anymore, are we? Since the Flames made the two acquisitions of the two defensemen, we've by and large seen exactly the same lineup night after night after night. And, you know, the lines have not been put in a blender very often, and neither have the defensive pairings. And there's some real, real advantages to having a baseball mentality, meaning every coach, every manager in baseball, they want to trot out that same lineup card night after night. And I think it's also one of the reasons that there's some stability. And when you added Forbort especially and Gustafson, you've just added some more experience in key places. And I think that has really helped. The one thing probably that's the story is for just the second time all year, Cam Talbot will make his third consecutive start. Kelly, he's 1-2 straight. He stopped 58 of his last 60. The last time he started three straight games was early in January when he won three in a row, including an excellent performance in that wild game against Edmonton here on January the 11th. So that'll mark the second time this year that the 32-year-old veteran has started three in a row. It's also another significant game for him. It's his 300th National Hockey League start. And somewhat like Derek Ryan in that story, Cam didn't arrive early into the NHL. He didn't make his way to the NHL after playing in college until he was 26. And then we know in the early part of his career that he was the backup in New York to Henrik Lundqvist. Cam had an incredible year in 2017 in Edmonton, where he played 72. I think the one thing that also isn't talked about enough is just, if ever there was a right guy for this team at the right time, I think it's been Cam. His maturity, I think he's been a fabulous partner for David Riddick. I think he's been a great guy within the confines of the room, because like Derek Ryan, his journey hasn't been easy, and he's had to navigate his way through difficult waters, including coming off a very difficult season a year ago, which was his toughest ever, both numbers-wise, and he was traded. But the way he has helped solidify that position, the fact that way more often than not, he has come in at times going 3 weeks without even playing a game, and just giving you that what I call professional performance, mature, professional. Those guys, Kelly, to me, are so important, and they're even more important at this time of year. So Cam gets the start again, and right now he's in a situation where points have never been more at a premium and more important, and he has the ball to run with a little bit, and we'll see where tonight goes.
I just wanted to add on to the Talbot story, Lou. Isn't last game against Columbus kind of the perfect example of who he is as a goaltender? He lets in a bad one early on, and then a bad turnover by his team leads to a goal that, you know, certainly isn't hit on him by any means. But from that point on, he just shuts the door and goes to work and gives his team every chance to come in all the way until Matthew Tkachuk ties it up late in the third.
What was the last thing you said? Give your team a chance to win. That's the job. That's job number one of a goaltender. Do you give your team a chance to win? And a lot like the clip that we used off the top, did it start well for Cam?
No,
it didn't. But that's a big part of maturity, the journey, the ups and downs, is I think the more you go through that, a lot of confidence can be gained by all of us in going through the ups and downs and finding your way through those. I just think we're more battle-tested as people, and in the team environment, that's what Jeff Ward is really seeing great growth in. This team was not battle-tested last year, and when it was tested, it didn't work out so well. He sees great value in all the trials, tribulations, the ups and downs of his team when it matters the most, getting to a better place. And with people like Cam Talbot helping the way, that's how you get to a better place. Even if I go back, Logan, just a quick flip, I thought one of the most engaged people the other night on a hard night, team didn't, you know, have its legs early. They made some uncharacteristic mistakes early, didn't manage the puck. I thought Milan Lucic was one of the most engaged people in their lineup from the start of the game till the end of the game. And you know why I think that is? Because he knows all about it. He understands it. He knows what it takes to win. He knows what it's like to be on a group where they don't have their best, but stay with it. Because he's been there. He's done that. He understands that. And while people can't always see the value of those sorts of things, a Cam Talbot, a Derek Ryan, a Milan Lucic, because we quickly will look to other places, just do never undersell the value of having people who know how to do it, and maybe even one step farther. How do we help other people get to a better place because we've been there and done that and they haven't? But they have to be willing to watch, to listen, and to learn. And I think that's a big place of where this team is at today, right now.
Well, you could probably say that for a lot of the young guys on this team. Do you want to look to a Milan Lucic when they're struggling like that? Because, you know, the points haven't come for a Sam Bennett. Mark Jankowski struggled for a long period this year. Dylan Dubé hasn't always found the score sheet. It's what you can do when you're not scoring to still have an impact on the team, right?
You can, but while you're quick to point out, you know, the benefit for those people, or, you know, the way that he's had a great, great friendship and partnership and mentorship, I believe, with Dylan Dubé, and that's had great results, as we heard, you know, in a great Scott Oak interview on After Hours about how it really helped rejuvenate even Milan at this point of his career. I also think there's great benefit for your veteran people, because your veteran people, Logan, have not done a lot of winning in this league at times when it matters the most.
Well, and so, they're veterans here, but they're not veterans in life even, right?
Well, either in life or in winning at the National Hockey League level. So I think, you know, even your leadership group led by Mark Giordano, there's things to be gleaned by him from someone who hasn't played in a lot of playoff games and hasn't been involved in a lot of playoff wins, to take whatever he can to help lead and to guide and to mentor. That's the great challenge that everybody has, and it's not always easy when you're a veteran person to step back and understand, you know what? We can learn from lots of different people in lots of different ways if we're open to doing that.
It is a big game tonight, a Pacific Division tilt. Flames and Arizona Coyotes. Pregame at 6, play-by-play at 7 right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, Lou, before we get to the mailbag, I got a bunch of other things just to kind of wrap it fire. First, a sad one. Andre Richard passes away at 84. Perhaps one of the, you know, those Montreal Canadian guys were so classy. I guess when you win that much and you get used to being kind of the top of the league, but I always thought he was just one of those classy gentlemen right to the end.
You know what's not easy to do? When you fill up both your hands with rings and you need a toe.
Yeah, my goodness.
Imagine. And that's what Henri Richard, the pocket rocket, just an instrumental part of that incredible Canadiens run, especially in the 70s. And it's funny, you know, when I was saddened by his loss and his death at 84, I'll be the first to tell you, as a young guy, I did not like the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, you were against them, right?
I was a Boston guy when I was a little guy. And my first real vivid memory of the NHL playoffs was in the year 1971. And the Boston Bruins, that was my team, and they just won a Stanley Cup. They beat St. Louis in 70, and Orrin Esposito, they had a great team. And a guy by the name of Ken Dryden as a rookie came in, and they beat the Bruins, and they went on to beat the Chicago Blackhawks in Game 7 at Chicago Stadium in the Stanley Cup Final. And if I'm not mistaken, Henri Richard scored a big goal in what I think, I didn't check it this morning, but I think the final score may have been 3-1 that night at the Chicago Stadium in the spring of 1971. So, saddened. And, you know, needless to say, his brother was quite a star in the sport of hockey. But, you're right. Class, went to work every day, captained that team, you know, more than 10 Stanley Cups, which is just, you know, when you think about incredible accomplishments.
He started his career with 5 straight.
Yeah.
With 5 straight. You know, that's in the Bill Russell category.
That's pretty amazing.
It really is.
And still, after he retired, he was always so classy with the alumni. Very cool. So he's gone.
Yeah, Béliveau and the Pocket Rocket and Ivan Cornway always come to mind when I think about those things.
So Henri Richard passes at the age of 84. Also want to thank everybody for helping out. Our 50-50, we had the big blitz there yesterday to kind of really push it, and it worked out very, very well. So thanks, Lou, for heading out to Opa. I know you had some fun there, and we're at Hudson's. I was in the north. We had the south covered off. It was absolutely fantastic. We're going to talk to Stu Bridle coming up in just a little bit. The reason we couldn't talk to him this morning, because he's a paramedic and he had his phone on Do Not Disturb. Apparently, that's an important job where you can't take calls when you're saving somebody's life.
Usually, for this sort of situation in radio, we'd be getting, come on, Stu. Answer your phone, Stu. Yeah. But it's like, okay. Well, you're saving lives.
More important things.
Yeah. So, and I know. And Kids Sport, we're a sports station. We've done so much with Kevin and the crew there, and we're doing more. But I'll tell you, that money that we raise for them is really going to help out a lot of kids play sports, get the equipment, get the registration, all that kind of stuff. So hats off to that. And I got one more. The Columbus game, I watched a little bit on TV and listened to a bunch on the radio. And then I had to kind of, got voluntold to go to the old co-op there, Lou, and rolled in there in Deer Run and put a little smile on my face, maybe a tear to my eye. The guys in the back in the butcher shop, they've got 960 absolutely blaring for the big comeback for the Mighty Flames. So I just said, thanks to you guys. We appreciate it. Yes. I love hearing those kind of stories. So I wanted to give a shout out to the boys in the meat shop at Deer Run Co-op.
Yeah, and, we thank all those guys. It's funny, I spend a little time. There are a lot of stops for me in the downtown area co-op where, I've met a couple of their workers, and one gentleman in particular who just absolutely loves the Flames, and you walk in the door to buy whatever I need, and he's always got a big smile on his face. So, yeah, they're good supporters, and thanks for being just that.
And I hope you listen tonight. It should be fun, and Sunday. We've got lots of great games coming up. It is Friday, guys, which means it's time for the mailbag.
Lou's Mailbag, brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, your private dining destination. Do business across the dinner table, not the conference table. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
All right, here we go. This comes from Devin Moore. I'm going to kind of edit his question because it's a big, long one. But Devin is going to go see the Flames and New York Islanders next week. Lower bowl tickets to go see that. Plus, a $100 gift card to go spend at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. How about that? Dinner before the game. Go see the game in lower bowl seats. That's awesome. His question is all about interim head coach Jeff Ward. He has a lot of, in caps, bold, carrying on, saying, keep him, keep him, keep him. The chemistry's there. The guys are playing with heart and determination. But he is the interim head coach. I know you've spent some time, obviously, with Bill Peters, and you've spent time with Jeff Ward. Is Jeff Ward ready to take this on full-time, permanently?
Well, I certainly think he is. I was a big fan of Bill and learned a lot from him. And Jeff has been so gracious with his time. He's 57. He's a teacher early in his days by trade. Has been a part of a lot of amazing things in coaching. I think he'd be a great benefit to any staff in any role. And at 57, he gets his first opportunity. I'm at a point, as much as you cheer for teams, you cheer for people. And Jeff, you want to talk about staying with it and believing and, getting an opportunity. And his opportunity, let's be frank, did not come the way he would have wanted. It just didn't. In as difficult, an unprecedented situation. And it was not easy. And it hasn't been easy. But he is. He's a great teacher. I know I've benefited greatly from being in his office and asking him questions about the game and why things are happening, both from a people standpoint and a technical standpoint. And I guess, so I'm really hoping for him in a massive way. And the other thing I just add to it in closing, Kelly, I think with the Calgary Flames, while we always point when things don't go the way we want, honestly, I'm getting a little exhausted by how coaches are always the first to go. And I think here there's been a lot of really good coaches. Started the show about a time to assess and what to assess. I don't think the Calgary Flames have had that has not been the worst part of anything.
Yeah,
here.
I know what you mean.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah, exactly. So there's Devin Moore's question and the answer, and congratulations. And you're saying, well, if Devin can win Flames tickets and go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, why can't I? And I say, you can.
You can.
You certainly can. Now, like, let's say Logan didn't work here.
It's true.
And you were just a normal person.
Yep.
You could just go to the website.
Could do that.
Sportsnet.ca/960.
Heard of
you'd
it.
Click on contest. Mm-hmm. You'd fill in your information. You'd type out a question with, you know, grammar and spelling and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Send it in. We take that question. We ask it on the air on Fridays. And you win.
That's easy.
Like, the tickets are almost $400 for the pair. Come on. This is a great prize, and we do it every Friday. So congratulations to Devin. That is the mailbag.
Lou's Mailbag, brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse Primetime Menu. Two courses for $49, three for $59. Add a glass of house wine for $10. Daily before 6:30 and anytime on Sundays.
Well, shocker, I've messed the timing of this segment up again, but that's the way she goes. Maybe I'll make it up later on, but who knows. Lou, we'll look for you at
Sounds
6
good.
O'clock and have a great call, and then a big game on Sunday, as it's International Women's Day. So that's awesome. We got some special stuff coming for that game, too. So have a great day, and we'll hear you tonight.
Okay, everybody, have an awesome weekend. Take care.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Yes, we are here on Hockey Central at noon. Kelly Kirsch and Logan Gordon. We've got Pat Steinberg ready to go at 1 o'clock. And Ryan Pinder will join at 2 o'clock on a game day. Flames and the Arizona Coyotes. Our coverage starts at 6. Play goes at 7 right here on the home of the Calgary Flames. Lots to get to before then, obviously. Want to mention that we had a lot of people come by and say hello at our drive-by locations there. Thanks to everybody who bought a ticket for the 50-50 draw. We're going to give Stu a call, the big winner, coming up about 12:45. See what's going on with Stu as he wins $20,000. That is awesome. Lots going on in the station this weekend. We've got a special UFC show coming up as Pat and G. Rana will break down UFC 248. 248.
Yep.
That's right.
That's the one.
Eventually, they're going to, they're just going to keep going with the numbers.
I guess so. Maybe once they'll start doing the Roman numerals thing or something. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on with that.
They had a lot of them, and now you wonder, is it going to be 557?
Yeah,
or
can't remember where I was for 332.
They'll do the wrestling thing and come up with cool names for all of them.
Maybe. SmackDown.
Yeah.
So that's coming up tomorrow, 3 till 7, and then the Calgary Hitmen. They are in Medicine Hat tonight. We'll have that game on our alternate stream on the old web. And then the game goes over the air and on the web tomorrow as Spokane makes their only trip into Calgary. Well, no pregame show. We'll just go right at 7 o'clock with Brad Curl and the crew coming up right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, it's Eric Francis Fridays. It's for the Beltliner. We talk to Francis next. There's a ton to talk to him about and see what he thinks about where the Flames are at right here on Hockey Central at noon.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon, and MIA Eric Francis. We don't know where he is. We texted him. We tried to get a hold of him.
Yeah, we tried.
We sure did. So Eric Francis Fridays looks like it's a no-go for today, but we will endeavor to get him in here on Monday for the Eric Francis Show for Horse Racing Alberta. And then next week, on Friday the 13th. Wouldn't be right without Eric.
No.
So that's what's happening. Flames take on the... No, that's not him either.
No.
Flames take on the Arizona Coyotes, and we had it earlier. When you look at the Coyotes in that franchise, if you Google news, most of it comes up about arenas and perhaps getting sold and how come they can't get people to the games and lowest attendance. It's been a long time since 2013, Logan. That's the last time they qualified for the playoffs. They made it to the Western Conference Final but did not win and have not been there since, and really a couple times been close a little bit, but not really, and just have been reeling again as they've had the worst record. Only Detroit has been worse in the NHL since the 9th of January, and they do have some things going for them. They have the third fewest goals against this season.
That's good.
Only the Bruins and Stars are better. They also have the highest save percentage in the Pacific Division. Bruins, Stars first, then Coyotes, then Avalanche, then Blue Jackets. So they're kind of alone there. And their penalty kill works really well. It's top six as well. The thing is with them, they've gotten a ton out of Darcy Kuemper, and then he got hurt, and then they started to suck. Now he's back, and they are really, really going to have to ride him to get to make up some room, because if you think it's tight now, we thought there'd be a little separation. I thought there would be anyway, but Logan, this is do or die for the Coyotes every night almost. Flames have beaten them every single. It's been a while. I think it's 2018 since they won in Calgary. So
yep.
This is it's a must have for Arizona, and it's would be awesome to have for the Flames to push them back even further.
Yeah, it's just so tight in that little wild card to third in the Pacific sort of. A grouping right now, because for teams like Nashville and Winnipeg, the Central is pretty much out of reach at this point with Dallas at 82 points. So you really need a fall off there. So now you got five teams really. Minnesota's come on, Vancouver's fallen down into the pack, and now everyone is sort of squished together. Technically, Arizona has enough points to be in a wild card spot. There are three teams ahead of them for that wild card spot right now, just because they've played more games than those other teams. So it's no easy task right now. You mentioned the goaltending for them. Darcy Kuemper only been in 27 games this year. He's been great in those 27 games, but 33 games for Antti Raanta, 13 for Aiden Hill. They need some consistency there, and they went all in earlier this year. It's a long time ago that you probably forgot about it, but Taylor Hall, a member of that team, and they've went big. They got Phil Kessel in the offseason, and it really hasn't worked out for them offensively to get that push they were hoping for.
Phil's what, a minus 21. I think Taylor Hall, people say he's probably been their best offensive player since he's come over.
Yeah.
But they still need more, and they need it consistent. So this will be interesting to see what happens tonight as the Flames wrap up their season series with the Arizona Coyotes. Pregame at 6, play-by-play at 7. What else are you watching on the NHL out-of-town scoreboard tonight?
I have in trending now, just because that wild card spot is so contentious right now. Two of those teams that are tied with Arizona are in action tonight. So the Jets are going to host Vegas at 6. That one, no easy task for Winnipeg, as obviously the Golden Knights lead the Pacific Division. They've been hot lately. And then, of course, the Vancouver Canucks are going to end their 4-game slide. They don't have an easy opponent. They welcome in the Avalanche for an 8 o'clock start later tonight. So, for Vancouver, you're certainly trying to get things back on track without Markstrom. You're still in the race. You got every reason to want those 2 points tonight. And the Jets, like I mentioned earlier, you're not going to catch Dallas for the Central, so you got to get a wild card spot if you want in.
Who should Flames fans cheer for? Vegas, Winnipeg?
Winnipeg. Oh, no. Vegas.
Really?
Yeah. You don't want Winnipeg.
You don't think you can catch Vegas still?
I think you have a better chance of catching Vegas if you win tonight. You're keeping pace with Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
You lose tonight and Vegas loses too, then Winnipeg is all of a sudden 1 point back of you.
Okay. All right.
That's a tough one though. I don't know who you want in that one. All of a sudden, the wild card becomes that much more.
I think you want Winnipeg to win, and then if you can make a little separation between you and Vegas, then you got a massive game on Sunday here, right?
I want the separation from the wild card teams.
Oh, okay.
I don't care where you finish 1, 2, 3.
I want my
in the
prediction
Pacific
to be correct. I said Edmonton would finish first, and then Vegas, and then Calgary, and then the wild card, whatever. But we'll have to see.
Yeah.
All right, we got lots to get to. We're going to give Stu a call. Stu was the big winner earlier today on our 50-50, our citywide 50-50 draw for Kidsport. We'll see what he's – has he got it spent already, that money?
I'm excited to hear from Stu because we didn't have a chance to hear him, and then all of a sudden him and his wife were trying ferociously to get a hold of the station.
Is this true? Yes, Stu.
Yeah,
it's true.
We do have money for you, yeah.
Stu's coming at you next right here on Hockey Central at noon.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Here we are, Friday in Calgary, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon, and time for a little special guest. About 8:15 this morning, we had the big draw on breakfast television on City TV. We've been doing it for a while, our citywide 50-50 draw, helping out Kids Sport Calgary, and there's only one person that could win. We got Michelle to kind of you know, spin the old barrel, the big clear barrel. We had the lottery people here to make sure we weren't screwing around. And what do you know? We reach deep into that barrel, grab a ticket out, pull it out, and it's Stu Bridle winning $20,000. And he's on the phone. Stu, how are you?
You have changed my day.
I imagine, hey? 20 grand? Now, has your wife, Jennifer, got it all spent, or do you get any say in this? How is this going to work?
No. That will be a family decision over dinner tonight, I'm sure.
We were talking about that because I guess, you know, you could save it or do something like that. But no, this is found money. You should spend it on like a holiday or something, right?
Well, I think my sister-in-law mentioned Hawaii. But,
okay.
You know, I think we're going to be responsible about this and look at pay off some debts and some bills.
There you go. Really. Well, I'll tell you. So you're a paramedic, I understand?
Yes.
My goodness. And your wife's a kindergarten teacher. I mean, you are just like the perfect family to win this.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Stu, when did you buy your 50-50 ticket for Kids Sport?
Funnily enough, I've been meaning to go and online and buy it, and I realized yesterday, listening to the radio, you were doing the drive-by ticket sales.
Yep.
And I jumped over to Hudson's in the south here and went and had a chat with the ladies and bought my boss 2 tickets, and then I bought 5 tickets.
So. That's amazing. You know, and Stu, the thing is, Kids Sport does such great work, 25 years and going strong, yep, in Calgary, and the need is there, and you know that. You know, sports equipment and that kind of stuff and registrations. It's just, it makes such a difference. Like when you and I were younger, we, you know, played sports and it was just something we did. And now it's sometimes a little tougher for people. So, you know, you can feel great to win $20,000, but even better that, you know, we raised all this money for Kids Sport.
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, it was, as you say, it was great that I won that amount of money today, but the ultimate winners, it's truly Kids Sport. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate that we can, you know, we put our daughters in sports before and we've been able to cover those fees and everything, but what Kids Sport do for, you know, kids here in this city, it's amazing. So,
well, Stu, I'm glad you won. You know, I guess you were busy early.
I'm glad
morning.
We got a hold of you, Stu.
Yeah.
That's what I'm most glad about.
I'm silent, guys. Sorry, I was at work.
Yeah. Doing that sort of thing. Well, we appreciate it. We'll get the Kids Sport guys are going to give you a call and they'll get your check and you have fun with that $20,000 and thanks for helping out Kids Sport. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, you know, thanks to the fan and open Kids Sport. And yeah, I'm over the moon.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Stu.
Enjoy, Stu.
Take care, guys.
Stu Bridle, our big winner of the 50-50 draw with Kids Sport, our citywide. It's been fun, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like 20 grand.
And yesterday, to buy the ticket last minute and get to one of those locations, man,
I
think that's awesome.
We hit the city hard yesterday. We were up in the north and the south, over in West Hills as well, at Cowboys. So we had the ringers going hard. So, you know, everybody worked so hard on this, especially at Ashley in promotions. I got to tell you, we
promo team went crazy for this.
Our team is second to none in the city. They do amazing job for us. So I know they're having a little celebratory lunch, so they won't hear this, but
pretty well deserved.
We certainly appreciate it. Okay. Well, I guess Francis was waiting for a call and I guess he didn't see his text. So I call BS on that. Honestly,
yeah.
I don't think that's true.
You texted him. I texted him. So you were looking at the phone.
So we'll have to shoehorn him in after 1 o'clock. And don't forget Flames, Arizona tonight, pregame at 6, play-by-play at 7. This has been Hockey Central at Noon.